Welcome back to the Chatting with Holly podcast series. Today, I'm chatting to Barry O'Callaghan, who is the owner and chairman of Rise Global. Barry has been called visionary in the world of education. He has spent nearly two decades driving the creation, development, and distribution of education products and cutting-edge technologies for the classroom. He is also the owner of a wonderful collection of luxury properties in Southern Ireland, the Cliff House Collection. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Holly. Thank you for the time.
It's great to be chatting with you. So, Barry, tell me, how did you end up with a stunning hotel on the coast of Ireland and venturing into hospitality?
I grew up, my dad was a GP in rural Ireland. We started life on the sea in a small little mobile home, which is where we spent our summers. And then we graduated to a small little bungalow where we spent our summers and winters and weekends. And so I suppose my love of hotels came really from my love of Ardmore, the location for the hotel. And so really having gone to boarding school from 11, I spent really all my kind of formative teenage years in Ardmore, a place I fell in love with and love to this day. And on the site where our hotel now stands, our new hotel stands, there have been predecessor hotels for 100 years. So when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, there was a charming little country hotel on the site called the Cliff Hotel. We've obviously changed it to the Cliff House Hotel. The Cliff Hotel back then was a charming little kind of two-star, three-star property where, you know, grannies had their afternoon teas, where fishermen came in, you know, in the evening. It overlooks the pier and had their well-earned pints, and where in fact those of us trying to procure our first underage pint, we probably went there too. So having fallen in love with Ardmore, having kind of been familiar with a hotel property there all my life, when the previous property fell into disrepair and got stuck in a probate dispute, I eventually stepped in and bought it. And really at the time when I bought what was then a derelict site and a derelict building, and obviously the hotel at that point had been closed for several years, I'm not sure I had a particular plan to open a hotel. I think what immediately charmed me was the locals, you know, having heard that I bought the property, everybody got on board, and it became very much a community project. I'd like to think, you know, to this day, the charm of the Cliff House Hotel in Ardmore is it's not just kind of gated elitist kind of, you know, beautiful building. It's kind of part of the community. It's fully integrated with the community. It's got a lovely mixture of residents as well as kind of daily footfall. It's at the start of what's quite a pilgrimage walk that goes around the coastal cliffs and picks up a lot of that traffic, as well as obviously it has a charm for residents.
Incredible. And I know you opened that particular hotel during the financial crisis of 2008. And I just wondered, do you think that's impacted your approach as to how you've operated a five-star boutique hotel, rather than starting up during the Celtic Tiger boom that preceded that time?
Timing of it couldn't have been worse, because I developed it during the Celtic boom. So yes, the costs were all very much, you know, at the peak of the Celtic boom. But then actually when I opened the business, the Celtic boom had just gone bust. The date actually, which remains a very sentimental and important date for me, is I actually opened it for my late dad's 80th birthday on the 18th of April, 2008. Mm-hmm. So that was a very important milestone for me, whatever happened, frankly, thereafter. Mm-hmm. But your question is a prescient one, which is necessity is the mother of invention. And what we found was, you know, it's a 39-bedroom hotel. What we tried to build was something which, as I said, was very much reflective of the community. It was a mixture of the heritage and the history of Ardmore, which actually does have a particular religious history, because, in fact, Ardmore and Waterford likes to boast that we actually brought Christianity to Ireland, because St. Patrick might be the guy who got all the fame and glory.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because he dealt with the snakes. But the reality is his predecessor, St. Declan, mm-hmm. who came across the water pretty much from the same direction, he actually landed in the Bay of Ardmore. And so there's actually a 4th century Christian settlement right beside the hotel. And so we tried to reflect that in, while it was a contemporary build and it's full of kind of glass and kind of contemporary, you know, we tried to infuse it with the heart and the soul, also reflective of the fact that there were previous hotels on the same site. The hotel is a collection of campaign furniture, one of the largest private collections in the world of antique campaign furniture. You know, we put in a very nice Michelin star restaurant, which we were lucky enough to get a Michelin star, I think, in our second year of operating. But then we also wanted to have kind of a counterbalance to that with a very traditional bar menu and kind of the things that people associate, kind of pints of Guinness and chowders. So we've tried to give the hotel a blend, and really following that we then just really tried to follow what our customers wanted. So I suppose to kind of come back to your question, it's not that we set out with one strategy, which we then had to pivot away from because of the financial climate, but there's no doubt we all had to be quite conscious of the fact that our customers' needs changed quite dramatically off the back of the economic climate. So I think Ireland was well known during the Celtic Tiger of kind of everything was raging and roaring, and it was kind of Ireland at its best, you know, to a certain extent. What we did when we navigated our way through the back half of 2008, 9 and 10 is we tried to get back to more maybe the traditional values of what Irish hospitality is about. Fine dining, also very good food provenance, but also just leveraging the fact that we had a lovely kind of piece of infrastructure that we'd invested very significantly behind. So as I said, very good food outlets, one Michelin star, but one more traditional based, a lovely spa called the Live Well, where we've, you know, a beautiful affinity pool and all that kind of stuff. So we just try to give our customers a nice, and frankly, price it fairly, but provide a very high level of service. And I think that's why, in many ways, it probably should have taken us a lot longer to establish a new product. I think we benefited from two things, really. I think number one, we benefited from the fact that there was a lot of goodwill associated with the Cliff Hotel because there were previous Cliff Hotels. So this was a reincarnation, which was the first kind of five-star reincarnation of Cliff. But the second thing I think we benefited from was, in many ways, you know, a very challenging economic climate. And so we delivered less things. We tried to do them what we delivered very well, and we tried to price it appropriately with a very high level of service. And I think that allowed us to get ourselves on the map very quickly.
Since then, you have, I know you went on to expand your collection, buying the village at Lyons in Kildare. And I mean, that is a stunning village. We were fortunate. We had my mother-in-law's 80th celebration there. And it was, it's fantastic. I love how there are so many different cottages. It's got so much charm. You've got a wonderful restaurant. It's right on the canal. We did a barge trip and it's just really special. And I just wondered what inspired you to buy that beautiful village and create the Cliff at Lyons?
As I said, you know, in many ways, you know, the creation of Cliff House down in Ardmore, I broke all the kind of business things you're told, which is don't let emotion override kind of business, etc. I think the village at Lyons was that similar journey for the late Dr. Tony Ryan. He fell in love with the Lyons domain. He discovered on the grounds of his big estate, including, you know, the association of Shackleton, who also has a connection with the old estate. And in any event, what he discovered from a pure kind of geographic perspective was that sitting on his lands were the ruins of what was the old village. And he researched what it would have looked like, you know, a couple hundred years previously, because I mean, if you saw the pictures of kind of what he restored, it truly is extraordinary. It's no wonder it cost him so much and took him so much time. But I mean, he brought something back to life, which frankly had died for 100+ years, and so right on the side of the canal, he rebuilt the moat system, which brought the water off the canal through a moat, creating a weir, which would have back in the day propelled the mill, which would have ground the flour, which would have obviously been the bread and the food center of the village, et cetera, et cetera. He rebuilt everything from the physical waterway to the source of power to the actual mill itself. And then obviously literally built what would have been the tenants' kind of individual cottages. And I'm friendly with his son, Declan, who was kind of really scratching his head, wondering what he was going to do with it. And so I originally advised him how to set it up as a private wedding venue. And then, in fact, I ultimately ended up buying it from Declan back 4 or 5 years ago. To me, it's a perfect kind of yin yang. While it's leveraging all that history, it's a modern contemporary building sitting on the side of a cliff overlooking the Atlantic. Whereas obviously what the village, are now rebranded the Cliff at Lyons, is, it's this restored but very old artisan village. And so what that allows us to kind of do from a hotel perspective is we've got several different eateries, including we actually brought in a very talented young couple to set up, similar to what we did down in Ardmore, the idea of trying to get a fine dining product offering and hoping that we might be lucky enough to get a Michelin star. And in fact, within 4 or 5 months of opening, I'm sure our fine dining restaurant actually got 2 Michelin stars. We've got other eateries. We've kind of got a pantry kind of retail offering for the dog walkers along the canal. We've actually kind of broken up the property, particularly with COVID, and we've slightly pivoted our strategy. So half the property actually is rented out. So almost a bit like kind of the Four Seasons residence versus the Four Seasons hotel. We've kind of got the same idea. We've kind of got the Cliff residence. We have a lovely community that lives there permanently, as well as we've the hotel community that come and go.
I think it's a very safe environment for families and multi-generational groups. And it's very, very special. I mean, another thing I wanted to ask you, I know I was listening to one of your lectures for students, and you were saying becoming an entrepreneur is a marathon, not a sprint. Do you feel the same way about taking on hotels and properties with regards to the time it takes to create them, nurture them, and adapt them?
It's all about a marathon, not a sprint, because frankly, education is all about outcomes. It's all about ultimately educating people. And the only way you can be good at what you're doing, proving that through generations of students that your offering works. Well, in many ways, hotels are the same. You know, you got to be true. You got to be true to whatever it is your mission statement is. You know, we're not trying to build something that big scale. We're trying to have some bespoke offerings that are truly unique. To me, it was such a perfect kind of hand in glove fit with what we had in Ardmore. Totally different, and yet enjoyed a lot of those same kind of unique characteristics and features. If you're going to do hotels properly, because I mean, look, ultimately the consumer is highly discerning. So the only way I think you can compete effectively within that kind of big ecosystem is to know exactly what you're trying to do, and to do it with, frankly, with a bit of honesty, integrity, and longevity.
We certainly see there's going to be an increase in demand for business to some of these wonderful parts, such as Southern Ireland, and you know, you've got beautiful locations. And Barry, before I wanted to wrap this up, I just wanted to say, I know you've been very visionary and creative in the educational world. And I just wondered if you had any thoughts as to how you see travel changing over the next coming years.
I think we've all probably learned that there were inefficiencies embedded in our professional and personal lives. And so I think the whole kind of work from home model versus travel endlessly model, which used to be my world, the right answer is probably some sort of a blend, which is, by the way, back to the world of education. And I've been involved for 20 years in trying to kind of innovate in the world of education. The common denominator across your question and education is a blend. It's cutting edge innovation combined with, you know, in the world of education, nothing beats a great teacher. In the world of hotels, nothing beats a great property with wonderful service.
And a great team.
And a great team. And so I think travel ultimately kind of falls somewhere in the middle there, which is, I think, certainly speaking for myself, as somebody who used to spend 30 to 52 weeks a year traveling, you know, and now having not traveled at all this year since February, the right answer is probably, you know, somewhere in between. So I think we'll still travel. But I think we'll probably be a bit more discerning about how often and where. And so that's where I think that the world of travel will come down. But I think what that means actually for the world of high-end luxury kind of unique bespoke properties, you know, whether they're hotels or exclusive use venues, is that it's just as exciting a marketplace. Because I think people are looking now, the one thing I think we've all, if we're a bit philosophical and we look back on the last kind of 8 or 9 months and all its challenges, is we're all looking for the right work-life balance.
I was going to say, I think to your point, I think you're right. I think people will take more time to plan the trips and potentially stay longer to appreciate. I think, you know, time has gone where people are just ticking off seeing key places. I think they want to. And as you touched on, what you're very good at with your properties is immersing them, you know, in the culture and meeting locals and really getting a sense of place, which I think will certainly become more important over time.
Yeah, well, I certainly hope so. I mean, what we've added most recently to kind of the Cliff portfolio is a new bespoke property called Cliff Beach House. And I mean, obviously, the timing couldn't have been worse. I mean, if I think about opening the original Cliff House Hotel in 2008, and then I launched the Cliff Beach House in 2020. So the Cliff Beach House was an old convent building, so similar to what I bought originally with the Cliff House Hotel, which was an old derelict hotel, what I bought several years ago, which had fallen into disrepair, which I originally used. I did it up, you know, to a standard to be able to use it as staff quarters and for storage, but ultimately that didn't become viable. So I ended up actually having to level the place and rebuild it. And so it's perched actually just above the hotel. So it probably has the single best location in the whole village of Ardmore in terms of panoramic views and vista, not dissimilar to what we built when we built the original hotel itself. We ended up having to level what was there, created this big kind of hole into the side of the cliff. And we built an 8,500 square foot property with 6 bedrooms all en suite, with a private cinema, a private gym, with a lovely garden and outdoor hot tubs. But then again, into this contemporary new build, we again tried to infuse a bit of heritage and history. So what we've put into it is a beautiful Yamaha piano, but more importantly, a private vinyl collection of Irish music, as well as Irish literature. You've got this big, beautiful property with these big, beautiful panoramic views, and you've got the private cinema, and you've got the hot tub, and a lot of the kind of, you know, a lot of the 21st century amenities that we love and enjoy. But still, at the roots of a week in the Cliff Beach House is kind of mindfulness, meditation, reading, listening to wonderful Irish music and reading wonderful Irish literature.
It will be amazing. I'm really, really keen. I'm really looking forward to coming to see it because I've, you know, seen so many images on it and heard so much about it. It just looks fantastic. And I think people are looking for a blend now of hotels and private properties.
I mean, I remember we used to visit this charming place up in the hills behind Nice called Chateau Saint-Martin that had a beautiful private residence tied to the hotel. That was the first time we kind of got that idea.
Well, thank you so much, Barry. It's been such a pleasure chatting with you. And you really do have an exquisite collection of properties. And, you know, as I said, we just look forward to furthering our relationships and working closely with your excellent team in 21. And thank you again for your time.
Thank you for your time. Stay safe. Be well.
You too. Thank you.